Yeah. It's that coming up from the bottom. Day one, dollar zero type shit. The only thing I'm ducking is the graveyard. I'm really with the shit y'all niggas play hard. I made it to a boss, I'm selling eight balls. I came up from nothing, I can never take a day, y'all. The only thing I'm ducking is the graveyard. I'm really with the shit y'all niggas play hard. I made it to a boss, I'm selling eight balls. I came up from nothing, I can never take a day, y'all. Turn your baby mama crib into a stash spot. And we moving more aggressive than the last shot.
What's up, guys?
I tell everybody that I turned my baby mama's house into a stash house. Nobody, people, that one, they don't believe me. But then I go, hey, listen, man, I wrote that song.
It's true.
Minus the N-word.
Minus the N-word.
I wrote the song. And true, who can confirm that for us is the guy who's rapping it, Hash.
That is true.
Who's on the podcast today.
That's
all
right.
All my songs are ghostwritten. You know what I'm saying? Like, none of the events are true stories.
Hash with the dollar sign. Yeah.
So Hash is a good buddy of ours. You guys know him from a podcast prior. We did a...
Ex-con versus ex-cop.
Yep.
Bro, that was baller.
That was.
We had a good time with that. And but the one thing that it was missing was us. Because it was very opinion. It wasn't just opinion based, but it was like perspective based on just what was going on in our society during that time, which is cool. And I felt like it was relevant, and it's good that we talked about it, because what people might think that I think was different. People think you think different. So cool. So if you haven't heard Ex-Con, Ex-Cop, go back, listen to it. But
good episode.
The one thing it was missing that we didn't get an opportunity to do until now was shoot the shit and just talk.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was just more perspective on our past and what it looks like for society. This is like, no, man, you've been our homeboy for a long time.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely. So like I've been writing your raps forever, bro.
Since what?
At least living vicariously through you,
man. I feel like I'm a shitty P. Diddy, right? Like I might be good at business, but then they're like, all right, they finally let me on a record and it's trash. But they're like, yeah, but he kind of like runs. We can't tell him to like,
I bet with some reps it might be good, man. Your mouth can fucking go. I'm sure that there's some.
Oh yeah.
I'll be a really good. Yeah.
And I see you that got guy. I see you got books in there, so you got the vocab.
I read a lot.
Yep.
But people don't know about Eli. Eli's a musician as well.
I try to tell as many people as I can that Eli does the musician stuff. And believe it or not, so was I. I was a drummer.
He was.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, let's be accurate, because he's a drummer. So in business, I'm by far the fucking cool kid. Fuck him.
Of course.
I'm the cool kid. However, in music, Eli's a cool kid, because he was the drummer. I was a percussionist.
You go. Sounds fancy.
I had to like read music and play the bells and timpani drums. Like I was a part of a Colorado honor band growing up. So like real nerdy shit. He rocked out on drum sets way better than me.
Yeah, that's but I could not do that cool shit.
I know. Trust me. Are we going there today?
Oh shit.
I know, right? That's
so cool. Eli, how did you meet here?
Yeah, you know, friend of a friend.
That's long story short, somebody was like putting their ball sack on your drum set. Just, right?
They did.
I get it.
Yeah, 100%.
No, man, it's fun. It's fun to get you on. We were talking music a little bit. We should play some music on this. Yeah, we're going to have an opinion of music today, because it's Friday. That's the vibe that I'm in.
Yeah.
But we can also just talk about, man, just business, what's going on. You got us some bags. What do you call these? Swag bags?
These are just the bag.
The bag. These are so cool. And full disclosure, just to send a message out there to everyone like supporting their friends or whatever, I bought these bags. The second he released these online, I was like, yo, I gotta have it. Bring it to the podcast. You were like, yeah, no sweat, bro. Like, I got you. It's no problem. I'm like, no. Send me the link. I'm gonna pay for them. So everybody out there like wanting a hookup or a handout, cut that shit out.
Right. Yeah. Then you paid your friends full price. You was like, nah, fuck that. I'm not paying.
It's important.
Especially because it's a money bag. You can't ask for a money bag and ask for a discount.
You can.
Like with the fucking money bag.
You can, broke motherfucker.
Right. But then you're going to make a post like, I got the bag. You know what I'm saying?
And it's also flip side, because when Hash is done balling out and he needs to buy his big ass house, I'm going to help you buy it.
That's true.
And then when you go to a bigger house and you got to sell it, I'm going to sell it. Yep, but I'm going to sell it at full price, because I'm good at what I do.
Yep, the baby mama's house.
Hey, remember that? We will find tax write-offs.
There you go.
But all jokes aside, support your friends, man. Support small business if you believe in what they're doing.
100%. I'll tell them, I need a gym bag that looks just like that, man.
But it's, and I learned this from my buddy Tosh. He brought this up one time because he was, when he was looking at selling his house, he ended up changing his mind not selling. But he was like, no, man, like, I was like, hey, we'll rock bottom it. I'll give you a discount. He's like, no, dude. Like, you can give me a little bit of a discount if you want, but I'm going to pay. But he also said it because he's like, hey, look, I also have an expectation for you to do a good job. And I don't want to fall into that trap of, like, you give me this hookup, but then it becomes more of, like, an obligation for you of helping a friend than it is anything else. And then it's like, yeah, thanks for the hookup, but you're not doing a good job.
Yep.
So it's like, I'd rather not really have a discount. I'd rather just, I'm going to pay, but then I can have expectation that you're going to do a good job. Yep. And if you're not, then I'm going to say something.
Naturally, like, as human beings, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're not getting paid what you think the value is, like, you're just going to give it, like, just.
But the bottom line is you should. So we can open these bags right now.
Yeah, what do we got in these bags, Ash?
All right, so besides, this is Eli's. That one's Will's right there. Right. I thought about,
see how much bigger my bag is than you? Sucker.
I do.
Well, when I told him, I was like, you sure Eli needs a large? He was like, yeah, the little bitch needs a large.
No, I think I said medium.
Surprised you said medium.
No. I said, if we go back to text messages, I think I said medium, and Hash fucking laughed. Let me look. Because I know. Dude,
talk to me about survival.
All right, survival, man. Like, so that's the brand. That's the movement. That's what I've been on forever. It derives from my younger brother. Like, he has Survival 7 tattooed on his arm. Okay. And when he passed away, I was in the hospital room with him, and they covered him up. That arm fell from under the blanket.
Wow.
So that was the last little piece of I saw of him. Yep. You know what I mean?
What's his tattoo that says Survival?
Survival 7. You know
Survival
what I mean?
Survival 7.
So I just took it, you know what I mean, flipped it, you know what I mean? Like, we all surviving, you know what I mean? So
how'd he pass away?
He got shot in his head.
Yeah,
gang violence, you know what I mean? But so to honor my brother and to keep his legacy alive, I made it a brand. That's what I'm rocking with this whole time. And that's why I will forever continue to do music, because he told me, like, the last conversation, deep conversation that we had was like, bro, like, you got this gift. And my brother cutthroat with me. Like, we barely liked each other. You know what I'm saying? But he's like, you got this gift. Nobody's fucking with you. Don't ever stop this shit. You know what I'm saying? And so, just to honor my brother, to carry on his legacy.
Man in a brand.
Yeah.
That's like Eli and I. We'll be getting mad as shit at each other, but we got each other's back.
We're married, man. We're married.
We're married.
Right. Yeah. Same, you know, like brothers, same situation.
All
right,
here we go. Let's see here. Friday. This week. Cool. I almost want to keep it to myself. Uh-oh. I'm like, cool, man. Let me get with Eli to confirm the podcast, whatever. Also, buy a double X for me and a medium for Eli. He's like, bet. I can do next week as well if that works. Medium, ! And then I said, or is he a large? LOL.
Oh, shit. I appreciate
and
you.
Hash is like, oh, shit, I'm weak. I bet. Let's just do a large. And I was like,
that's awesome.
All right, cool. Double X.
Out, bro. I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Eli's not tiny.
We should just fucking make Eli put it on, see if it's too big or not.
Go through. It ain't too big.
Is that bag too big?
Yeah, man. So, like, the bundle, man, is like, I just came up with this idea, like, to, you know, I did, you know, decent with the merch in the past, and like I figured, like, just from a business standpoint, you know what I mean, obviously, hell, like, you know, I do it all for the love of it, but like to like further the brand and to continue doing like what we're doing,
because
we pay for so much shit and we're like the last ones to get paid.
Who put this together? You?
I did.
This is so cool, bro.
Shirt soft as fuck,
man. Like,
there's something to be said, bro, about like being able to open stuff up, feel the quality of something, like,
because
as much as it's fun to like get something from Amazon or whatever, like packaging. It's so cool, but then like the reuse of package,
right?
Oh, it's everything,
right?
That's so much stuff going in this money bag.
Did you screen print those yourself, or did you?
No,
find those?
I bought those. I found those bags, and those bags were pretty expensive. They cost me, you know what I mean, like $8 a piece. You know, relatively when you go.
That's why you charge me $900 for the fucking.
You feel me? You know what I'm saying? But it's not just I'm not at the crib with my Cricut machine pressing shit on there, you know what I'm saying? That's actually some embroidered, some quality shit, you know what I mean?
Dude,
that screen print is gonna stand the test of time. So I'm all about quality. Who I am. Yeah, I am who I am. You know what I mean? I felt like that's just a phrase that no matter who you are, no matter what walk of life you come from, you can relate to that. You know,
especially for a couple dudes like all of us, or right, especially like all of us.
We're all fucking degenerates. You know,
100%. 100%.
You know, so
I feel like if I put this on, I know what the fuck I'm talking about. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, put the hood on.
Put this on at home with my lady.
Wait till the back version too. We're gonna be pulling jugs with the ski mask.
But you know what's funny, man? It's good to wear because as much as you can make that statement toward everyone else, I kind of feel like people need to hear that for themselves. Like, wear that shit and go look in the mirror. Like, are who you are, man. Like, you gotta be proud and own who you are. And as much as like we want to make a statement here, it's almost like you should wear that as a statement for yourself. And if someone sees you in that shirt, they should be reading it in first person.
Right. I am who I am.
Like you. Oh, but if you are who you are, then I am who I am.
And if you don't know who
you are. That's mushroom shit, by the way.
You confused, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to find out who you are. So I just felt like, you know, just like everything I try to do, I try to, you know, use like relatability. You know what I mean? And, you know, like when people come at me like, yo, like listening to your song helped me get through like this time right here. Those are the props that mean like the most. It's not all hash, you dope, you can rap. Yeah, I know that. You know what I'm saying? But like when I've helped somebody and they like able to relate to me and understand the real reason for my art, like
it's bigger.
It's bigger.
That's
than cool. Just,
we feel that in real estate, believe it or not. We got so many new people coming on board, right? We're at almost like 100 agents. And one of our agents yesterday, super cool cat, doing well, learning a ton, and he's just excited to get on board. And he's using one of our agents for his transaction management and stuff. And he text messaged us. Yo, so-and-so's like, you know, on my deal so far. And like, she's with it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. And I just responded. He's like, yeah, she's on it. She, you know, I just responded. I know, wink face. Like, yeah, motherfucker, she runs my bag.
Right.
I know.
Right.
But it was like, I said it from like a kind place, not like a condescending place, but like a, yeah, like I get it. I know it's just good, and it's like you appreciate her. She's helping you with your bit, like she's helping you with your business. Like, yeah, bro,
right?
Similar.
You know what I mean?
And it comes with a CD.
It comes with a CD.
We got your album. Talk about that.
Okay, so for
you can't. Well, I do have a link for that CD, but I haven't put it out. But so there's only 10 of those in existence.
Damn.
You know what I mean? So that's
Is this like a real NFT right here?
Pretty much. I love the exclusivity of the bag. So like, anybody who buys the bag that has that CD is also free entry to the next show or any show. You know what I mean? And then I can just sign it for you at the show instead of signing it to you and sending it to you. Let me spend a little time with you so I can write a little personalized note if somebody wants.
Did
me
you
to
have
sign
to
it.
Buy a lion or like sleep at one to be Muslim?
I am one. I was born one. You know what I mean? Because that's what it takes to be a Muslim. Like, you know, like once you get down to like, especially with faith, like, and that's why like I don't just say that just to relate to a certain group of people, but like.
No, you practice.
Right, I do practice. Yeah, yeah. And it makes you who you are to your core, like to your bare essentials. Like
explain
you can strip
that.
Me to anything. Like so the heart of a lion, like can't nobody just claim that. You have to be fearless. Mm-hmm. You have to fear nothing but God, the creator. You know what I'm saying? Like you have to be that fearless to call yourself like an any type of wild animal. You know what I mean? So the tiger for me is like with the survival, I implemented the tiger because, you know, like if you know me, Eli knows me very well. You know me very well. But, you know, everybody does this in this room. I'm quiet. You know what I mean? Like usually, you know what I'm saying? If you don't know, especially if you don't know me. Mm-hmm. And that's like the tiger. Like the tiger and the lion is like everybody refers to the lion as the king of the jungle. He has all this fame. He has this big old mane and shit.
Because he's over there barking.
Yeah, because he's over there just like, yeah, I'm
the
shit.
He's over there fucking female lions.
Right, all that shit.
And roaring and sleeping and shit.
But so is the tiger.
Yeah.
But you just don't hear about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm equally as dangerous.
Yep. Sure.
You just don't hear about me like that. You know what I mean?
So that's, you feel like you relate more to a tiger.
To a tiger than a lion. Because that same heart, you know what I'm saying? But
I kind of measure. I'm not big on, let me rephrase that. I am big on it, but I'm not big on cliches. Right. Doesn't mean people calling themselves a lion is a cliche. It means it can be depending on the fucking mouth that it's coming from. Because I think things just get, like for example, we're talking about music, right? You hear an Eminem song and then they play it on the radio 3 times a day and it gets played out. It doesn't make the song any less good.
No, it doesn't.
It's just everyone wore it the fuck out and they aren't appreciating it for what it is, and you have a bunch of like superficial people talking about the music and they don't even understand 80% of the shit he said. So it's like you're not even appreciating it at its depth. You're just talking to, like, if this were like a ice cream cake or like a ice cream cone, you're talking about the cherry on top. Like, you're not even talking about the different flavors and texture and everything else of the actual dessert. You're just talking. And I feel like a lot of people, when they talk music, they talk that. Or when they talk about being a lion, or the, it's like, it's you're like just talking anything. About this shit. Like, shut up.
You so see I don't, the I don't end like result. It. They, all you're they right. talk about is the end result. Like when I see you guys, like, my view of you and Eli is like way different. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I've been with Eli when we were grinding in the fucking gym.
And then I saved his life.
You know what I'm saying?
So you know for real. Right.
And then now to see you guys doing as well as you guys are doing, but yeah. it took a lot of work to oh, do yeah. that. And people don't see it. That shit. Yep, you know what yep. I mean? People, yeah. all they see is the end result. Like, oh.
But that's why I gauge, like, when people use an analogy. Because I'm okay with alter egos and analogies. And, like, it's fun to, like, talk and imagine stuff like that. But how I gauge lions or tigers or whatever is like gravity. So whether you're louder or not, like, I just want to measure a room and see who's drawn.
Yeah, right.
You can who's feel drawn to that person's right. energy. Yeah. Who listens when that dude talks or yep. whatever, maybe. Because, like, your style of killing life, your style of killing, your style of maneuver is going to be predicated on God's gifts, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're quieter, but then that allows you to maneuver. I'm quiet in some aspects in life. Other, I'm louder. But I feel like that's my gift. That's mm-hmm. where I navigate. Mm-hmm. That's where I influence. Mm-hmm. If I were to try to be you, I would lose.
Right.
So I feel like you have to, you have to be you, right? Yeah. But whether someone would consider you an alpha or whatever it may be isn't so much whether you're quiet or loud. Because people that are loud don't get hurt either.
Right.
And people that are quiet are super heard, regardless, right. mm-hmm. depending on, mm-hmm. like, so I kind of measure rooms by that.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
Where people lean.
It's being comfortable with who you are and, man, not being afraid to be who you are.
Yeah.
And when, man, it's so obvious when you're trying to be something that you're not, that's the most obvious fucking thing.
Everybody sees it except you. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Everybody yeah. sees, like, everybody that's like that, that's in the room,
yep.
knows, like, we smell it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
and
saying?
You should put the pride into doing the work. Like,
mm-hmm. you should.
When we definitely. First started real estate, of course I wasn't like where I wanted to be. But I was happy to be where I was at with an opportunity to create something. And then you mm-hmm. just have to, like, be okay getting your hands dirty and just know, mm-hmm. like, that's where I'm at. And by the way, even when you quote unquote make it, your hands are still dirty. You're
dirty
still,
yeah.
Like, now that we see a path, now that we've hit a certain level of success, you ever climb the incline?
The small one.
All right, on the big one, right?
Yep.
You get halfway up. It takes a long time to get, like, halfway up or 60% up.
Yep.
And you see that crest coming, and you're like, hell yeah. And then and you get right there, and you're so tired, but then you see the real top. I feel like that's where him and I are right now.
Like, fuck.
Like, we've been working so hard, yeah. like, boom, you're right here. You're like, fuck yeah, but then you're like.
Yep.
And you're like, damn, so, but then you're also excited because you're like, you now see.
Mm-hmm.
I could not see the second half of that mountain from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited about what I could see, which is good. You should be. And then you grind it. But now that we're at where we're at, we see so much more and it's fucking possible. And we see how to get there. And we're around the people that can help us get there. So it's like, it's more work, but it's like
right.
so much more like energy. And the skill set you acquire to get to that first up. Right. Is what you needed to get mm-hmm. to be able to see that in the fucking first place. Mm-hmm. Makes sense? Like, if you try to.
Nah, it makes total sense.
If somebody would have shown me that from the gate, I don't know if I'd even make it you up the first half. So it's important to, like, attack what you see and mm-hmm. prioritize that and grow. And then as you continue to level up, it's there. But I feel like that's mm-hmm. where we're at.
It's kind of like doing your first cut, man. When you do your first cut and you're like, all right, I see what I'm working with now. You know what right, I mean? Right, and then right. like growing from there and adding on to that. But until you do that
let's
first
talk
cut,
about that.
You're like, fuck, I need to add some muscle here, trim up here.
Because when you said, let's go back to when I was talking to you about being Muslim. And you were talking about, like, you could strip me or whatever. Like, Let's unwrap that for me.
Like you can,
because you fast. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To this, right? Mm-hmm. Can you unpack it for me as far as like what you mean by all that?
Like you can like, the the easiest term to explain it would be like, no matter where I'm at in life, up, that I could be at the top,
mm-hmm.
with millions, billions of dollars, mm-hmm. or I could be down, homeless on the street. I'm gonna be the same person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Period. That's just who I am. I'm just in a different stage in my life at that time, but I'm always going to consistently be
the What same do you feel person. Helps you get there as far as like religion wise?
Just
being Muslim, just well, that culture.
Just knowing that, just like, you know, knowing that I have no reason other than to be a humble being, you know what I mean? To humble myself, you know, so what
like,
I mean?
Is like a connection to source? Is it connection to like the creator?
Yes, it's the connection to the creator, knowing, you know what I mean? Like, first of all, like appreciating and knowing that like everything that I'm capable of or anything that I do mm-hmm. or everything that's possible is only possible through him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's allowing me to do this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So don't take it for granted, because in the blink of an eye, it can all be stripped away.
Yep.
You
yep.
know what I'm saying? That's what keeps me grounded. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like being steadfast in my faith. That's why I have to pray every day. You know what I'm saying? 5 times a day. You know what I mean? And I have every opportunity to be forgiven for my shortcomings. You know what I mean? Allah is merciful. So why not obey? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why not obey?
So where does the eat come from?
Where does the fasting?
No, metaphorical, not literal. Mm. Like the, because I love humble analogies. I love reminding myself or just having that reminder that like, this isn't about you.
Mm-hmm. Just so where does like the eat,
but then like where does the chip on shoulder, where mm-hmm. does, right? Because like, and I love the debate about humbleism in certain things, because then you talk about Kobe, Michael Jordan, whoever mm-hmm. you want, like, hey man, if Michael Jordan, it's not that Michael Jordan wasn't appreciative of his gifts and whatever, mm-hmm. But if he didn't have that chip on shoulder, whatever you want to call it, confident, mm-hmm. whatever, just that ambition to compete,
mm-hmm.
that then turned into, no, I'm going to kill you. Where does that come from? Where does that fit in addition to...
To be... All right, so... Like, I don't have to be... I don't have to humble myself for you, for Eli, for Pete, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I have to humble myself for God, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And that's it, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have to be a humble being, like... Mm-hmm. But I also don't have to be an asshole, you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Okay.
But... Since God has blessed me with this gift, I have to give it my all. You know what I mean? Just like you give your...
But you're not proving yourself to anybody.
I'm not proving myself to nobody.
So you feel like when people compete or have chips on their shoulder, or maybe more so the chip on their shoulder, you think it's that they've got something to prove to others versus having something to prove to themselves or just being
their best. I think people who have chips on their shoulders, like for real, like they don't know who they are. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're not confident. That chip is always like a little something extra, like to just to prove myself. I don't have to, you know what I'm saying? Because you already know what it is, you know what I mean? Because I'm always going to put my all into it because I feel blessed
yeah.
to have it, you know what I mean?
And I like a little chip. I like a little, I got this.
Yeah. I don't worry. When I get on
stage.
Intent
matters.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's all about mm-hmm. my intentions in it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we all want to make some money. You know what I'm saying? But what do you want to do with that money?
But even further than that, I like talking about what we're doing. I like planting seeds. There's other like high level dudes in real estate. And I like planting little seeds and like just let them know what we're doing. Because one, it like keeps you on your toes, lets you like wonder like, what the fuck is that guy really? And it also keeps me accountable to like, as I'm planting seeds, I better be about what mm-hmm, I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But I like that chess game. And I think that's just the competitive nature in me mm-hmm. is like you and I playing one-on-one basketball.
Mm-hmm.
We could play and I could smack you on the butt. Hey, good shot, good mm-hmm. shot. Cool, right? Hey, good shot. But I could also like, what if I said something? Or what if I, a little, you know what I mean? Like, there's a game within the game.
Oh, there's definitely the game within the game.
And I like that game.
And I love it. I'm here for it.
And that's from competitor versus competitor.
Right. But that's
which is totally different.
Yeah, I'm not preying on the innocent. I'm not just gonna come dunk on you while you're sitting there eating banana bread.
Yeah.
But if you get up off that bench, I'm gonna dunk on you.
But that also comes with the whole no fear. You know what I mean?
But that's the game within but that's not necessarily a chip on shoulder or I'm trying to prove something. Nah. It's like just within the game.
The chip is different than being fearless.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the chip is like trying to prove something. You know what I mean?
Confidence helps too with like being feel like just getting out and doing stuff. Cause like I feel like Eli and I, we're at a point where I don't know if we're fearless, but we're close. And here's why. Not because we're above everything, not because we know we're gonna win. It's because if you took everything away from us right now, we could start over and do it again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So when you know that, you don't necessarily need all the cheat codes to the video game and like, oh, I need that code where like I'll never die. Like, well, then what's the fun of playing a fucking game?
Right.
Right. But like, hey, if you die, but you know, man, I got level 1, 2, and 3 covered. It don't matter. I'll start. Yeah. Like, you'll have to put the time back in, but you got it. Same thing. Like, if him and I, like, if they took, like, if real estate just did not exist anymore ever again, we would build something.
I always joke about a fucking frozen yogurt shop.
Frohos.
That would
Fro-ho. We have a bunch Fro-ho's. Of like 18-year-old bitches working there.
Right.
It'd be called Frohos.
Frohos.
Yeah. It's a great idea, right?
Cold hard nipples and frozen yogurt and bikinis yogurt. And like, look. I know. And then we would just have quadruple the margin on the yogurt.
We'll serve your kids, keep your dads happy.
Yeah, man.
It might be yogurt everywhere all over the place. Things get a little
like
wild.
Yogurt fights and shit.
Yeah, things get a little wild.
Depends. Yeah. Depends. Like, don't just ruin the fucking supply.
Yeah.
You know, we got to make sure margins are hit. Right. But we would figure. But I feel like that's where some of the fearlessness comes from. Is like because we're prepared to like start over if we had to. It's like not that we're playing risky business when we're outgrowing now, but we're just prepared to take loss or to take risk that could happen. Yeah. Have some loss to it because, hey man, if it goes to rock bottom, we'll rebuild. And I feel like when I was at rock bottom, I was connecting with my pain points because I was also fearless in the beginning, but for a different reason.
Yeah.
It was hey, I'll do whatever it takes to not be here again. Mm-hmm. Now, if I go there again, I know how to get my way out. But I'll do whatever it takes not to be here. So like when I was starting real estate, sleeping in a pantry, I think I still had a very similar mentality that I do now, but just from the other side of the coin of people don't change till it's too painful not to, or just knowing like, man, I got $36 in my name.
Yep.
I'll do whatever to start level. Right. But then once you get there, you know how you got there. If you're not cutting corners and trying to get cheat codes or you're full of shit, right? Like, you know how you got there, right? So it's like, if you know how you built it, what? No problem. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit. Thank you.
Spider? Oh, shit.
That's hilarious. Good eye, bro. Good eye, man. There we go. I thought we got a spider crawling around Will's microphone. Hell yeah. Nice job, bro. I thought you were looking at his watch. It's a cool watch. Oh, yeah.
I don't want to swallow no spiders, bro.
Thanks for saying dude. Thanks for saying something.
Hash, tell me about this music. Tell me about what you got going on.
So, and real quick, this is your last album was, what, Five Summers, right? And Five Winters? Or do you have something in between there?
Oh, I had a collaboration project in between there. It was called Wild TG.
Okay.
I did that with my brother's show. And then I just released this one on June 10th.
I Am Who I Am.
I Am Who I Am, June 10th. So we 2 months in on this project. We're here. This was an EP produced solely by a Denver producer by the name of Ice Cold. Yep. And I don't know. I just wanted to I listened to a lot of Davies.
Yep.
Benny the Butcher and them doing projects with Harry Fraud and the other producers. So I always wanted to do that. And Ice Cold was the guy that I thought about in Denver to do that with. So that little 6-song EP I recorded in 3 days.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Damn. 6 songs, 3 days. Damn. And just running with it right now. I was just talking to P, I got shit that I could just drop whole projects right now. You know what I mean?
We got some events coming up. We were talking about maybe you coming out. Well, I didn't involve Eli in the conversation because he's always working on our shit.
I'm always down.
But throwing a, just coming out and doing some music for events, I think would be cool.
Yeah. I think it would too. I think you got room for that. You know what I mean? Like open up the event, get the energy up. You know what I'm saying?
It will be open. It will be open.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hash, what's your writing process like, dude? I'm always so curious about that from like an artist perspective.
Yeah, are you just good at this shit or you got to try what?
Does the beat come first and then the lyrics? Do the lyrics come first? You find the beat?
I prefer the beat to come first.
Okay.
So I can find the pockets. You know what I mean? Or what?
No, I don't know what you mean.
So like,
I for real have no idea.
So like,
what you
the pocket is like, you know, like just the
groove,
the tempo.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain. It's like where you fit in the beat. Yep. You know what I mean? Where like that pocket, like how you want to,
where the beat or the offbeat hits, where the punch
exactly where you want to lay in the beat. So I like to write it like that, but sometimes like I just can't help myself. I'll write in the middle of the night or whatever. You know what I mean? There's like so many raps that nobody's ever heard, but usually I get the beat. I'll write it, or sometimes I won't even write it.
Mm-hmm. It just comes.
Just freestyle it. You know,
do you ever, like, journal or anything? Like, when you write, is it ever, like, in just non-rap format as...
No, that's more journal.
There's CDs in here. Yeah. There's CDs in here,
There's actual CDs in there. Like, so if you have a CD player...
I do.
Bang that shit in the CD player. Scratch it up to where it starts skipping and shit.
Hell, I'm going to show my daughter this. Like, yo, what's up? You know what this is? Like, I didn't fucking think so.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's dope.
I haven't even opened one yet. That's the first time I've seen it. But yeah, it's really?
That's dope.
You know, I figured it would. One of my partners that's been in the game for a long time, he referred me to that company, so I trusted his judgment. But I didn't want to open them. You know what I mean? Just
why not?
Well, I wasn't going to open them. You know, I didn't know what people. Some people would keep them as like, you know, nostalgia type, you know, items. Yeah. Yep. Some people actually have CD players.
I'm listening to this.
Yeah, bro. I buy cars to drive them.
Right.
I put miles on my shit.
Right.
That's true. That is true.
I don't know how to open mine. Is there a
CD? See, it's been a long time since you opened up a CD.
Well, is there like a cigarette line or no?
No, I got you.
I just thought it would be cool to add that into the bag. Add some added value. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like some a souvenir type of thing.
Because they're not as known as they used to be.
I wonder if
this world of abundance and nothing being exclusive, I wonder if there's going to be some things that kind of like speakeasies and some other shit are starting to get repopularized. I wonder if like that's going to come back.
Man,
like, hey, this is not on iTunes. You just got to buy the album to listen to the music. Like, I wonder if anyone's going
to an album. Like, that's one thing I loved about your last album. Like, was it Five Summers or Five Winters? So those are two.
Five Summers. Yeah.
Yep.
You listen to that beginning to end as an album. Like, it kind of goes almost in a storyline, right?
Right, exactly.
Is this one similar?
This one is similar.
Is it?
Yeah, it's, you know what I mean? It's just kind of... Yeah, I started off with Dream Crusher, you know what I mean? And that was just because, like...
You're an asshole.
I'm an asshole.
You got a chip on your shoulder.
Right, I do have a chip on my shoulder.
You got dreams and you crushing them.
I think we're programmed to believe that that's a chip.
I think intent matters. You're right. Because I think what some people call a chip on someone's shoulder, it's like on the surface it could come out as confident or assertive or whatever, but like if you don't know where it's coming from,
right
it could look
if I tell you I have a chip on my shoulder, that means I'm just trying to be the best that I can be. You know what I mean? If somebody else says Will has a chip on his shoulder, they're like, he's a cocky asshole.
Yep. And there's gonna be some cocky in there. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I'm gonna be
real, bro. Like I do love winning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as much as we have friends that talk about this, as much as people are pushing this nowadays, like, hey, it's you against you. And then you gotta beat you, and then your new you is better than your old you. Look, bro, I understand. But beating others, it tastes good. Right, like
in this fucking game, because like, this is a game.
Listen,
this is
like
business is
like
a game.
Kobe going every morning and shooting better than he did the day prior, and being a better version of himself than the day prior or the year prior, alone in the gym, I'm sure is gratifying. But there was purpose. He wasn't doing that just so he could fucking do that.
Yeah,
it was like purpose driven, like, hey, I'm gonna be the best version of myself and continue to compete against myself. So when I step out here, I annihilate.
Think about this.
And I promise you, Kobe liked those championships.
P- people don't really think this far into it. Like, do you think Michael Jordan didn't know what the fuck he was doing throughout his whole career? The tongue out, the swag. You know what I mean?
Everything. Mm-hmm.
You didn't think he didn't know that that shit was going to carry on? You know what I mean? Yep. He did that innovation. You know what I mean? Like
brand.
Yeah, the branding. You know what I mean? So like you said, it is a fucking competitive. That's why like I have to do things. Like, man, a lot of the shit that I see you guys doing, I watch you guys very closely all the time. You right. know what I mean? So like the shit that I see you doing, yeah, we in different lanes, but it's like, how can I apply that to my business?
We do the same thing. You know what I mean? Like I watch people like, we'll talk to Gavin every couple of months, and him and I are pretty close friends, and like I'll pick his brain, or he'll say one or two things, or I'll see something, and then I'll figure that out, and I'll go play it. But beating other realtors, yeah, no, it's fun. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. You jump in the pool.
Making pivots, right. Making the right decisions, watching people not make the right decisions or the right pivots, or putting in the right amount of work to achieve. It's like, look, bro. You can tell me you're happy all you want. Some people are. A lot of people hide behind that statement, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You could tell me, oh, bro, it's just me versus me. And depending on who says and how they say, I could understand. You could also be hiding behind that statement. And I think a lot of people do. I got to have some form of competition. External.
Yeah,
and that's just me though, right? Like,
here's where I think it's super healthy.
If I were the only realtor in Colorado, so like I'm just abundantly rich,
yeah.
Minus the competition, I'd be digging holes in the backyard and jumping the fence and fucking the neighbor's dog, bro.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Right? Like, period. I need right.
Period. Like, where it's super fucking healthy is, man, to be this competitive in your lane, in your sport of whatever that sport is. The people that don't, man, like you're getting on I-25, someone cuts you off. Now that's their competition. Your kid's talking back to you.
Yeah, you're a loser.
Now he's your, and you got to fucking teach him a lesson. Your wife, you got to teach her, you know, and then you end up needing to compete with all these other people.
See, you got to, if you're out there and you're like, fuck, that's me.
Yep.
Hey, that's okay. But you need to go, fuck, I need to outlet. I need to go do jujitsu. Nah, I need to go get punched in my face. I need to get competitive in business. Like Eli does jujitsu. I don't. Like I did it for a long time. Like that's just not my.
So what happens when you guys get into these disagreements? And
I tell him to wrestle me physical. All the time. I tell him, I'm like, bro, you would beat my ass. No. And then I bend over and I put my head out there. I go, bro, just put me in a headlock. Let's just start from. He's like,
I ain't taking that fucking bait.
Yeah, he's like,
he thinks I'm tricking him. Bait. The funny thing is, he can so whip my ass in jujitsu.
Well, here's
what he doesn't know is I got a pistol in my fucking boot.
No, I fucking do know. That's why I'm not taking the bait.
Put that shit right into his fucking belly button. Right?
He would. He sold enough guns at people's heads that he's like comfortable with it too.
Yeah,
he's
just random Tuesdays.
But dude, actually, so I started training jujitsu not because I wanted to do jujitsu, but I knew I lacked that competitive edge. Mm-hmm. I needed to nurture my competitive side. And it was like, hey, I need to get around real life competition.
But even that statement right there, so even that statement, nurture that. As a friend, I'm going to unsolicit shit to him because he's forgiving of me. I want to alter that statement.
Sure.
Let's hear you it. Don't need to nurture your competitive side. You need to let it fucking loose.
That's what I mean. Right. Yeah.
But even that word of like nurture, it's like, okay, I'm gonna take my
competition. Bring it out. I'm going to put it up. You're right.
No.
Right.
Just open the door.
Yep.
But it's the same thing. Like I got love for my man P. We on the same team. You know what I'm saying? We on the same damn team. Yep. But when we do songs together,
kill him. Like, this thing. Because if he's coming trying to kill you, but if he's trying to kill you at the same time, then it's gonna level itself.
And it's fun. It's fucking fun.
We're gonna level each other up.
It's bringing. Dude, look at Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. Everyone knows, okay, Jordan's Jordan. But everyone gives Scottie enough to where like, hey, if Jordan didn't have Scottie, Jordan would. His game was leveled up high enough. Mm-hmm. There was no doubt like, hey, without me, you ain't fucking. Well, you be Jordan, but without me, you ain't fucking winning. And don't get it twisted. And then when he's hurt or whatever, and it's just Jordan and Rodman, you felt it.
Right.
And then they came back and Rodman helps. But the bottom line was he solidified his value.
Right.
So even within like the same scope of team, it's like, don't fucking think that like my contribution to here doesn't allow that to happen in the first place. Exactly. And it's true. And then when Jordan decided to go play baseball, right, then there wasn't the Bulls.
It's just like if Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen didn't end up on the same team, they were still going to get their bag at the end of the day. Yep. You know what I mean? So like me and P, me and Vinny, we don't need each other. But the fact that we come together we inspire each other, you know what I'm
saying? just be one to fuck each
and
other
be,
up.
Yeah, and just be competitive.
Like, if you and I start working out together, you going to go easy on me because we're
definitely
friends?
Definitely not. Nope. Fuck no.
Nope. And nope. Guess what? Before I even get there,
you want them to.
I took fucking two pre-workouts.
He said two.
Right? And I'm going to go in there, right. And I might even be super friendly and high-five you and just put you in a super relaxed mood so I could be the one that establishes the heavier weight first.
Right.
I could be fucking with you before I even get there because it's like, no. Even if he starts pushing, I'm going to set the tone.
Yep.
Right. Yep. It's off. Check this, though. Check this.
Oh, there it goes.
Check this interview. Check this. Check this. This example. What I was thinking, because I am involved in a competitive thing that I do a lot, and so I've seen like a lot of competitiveness go on. Taking just based off what Hash said, you know, hopping on the track and you know trying to snap just as hard as he is, you know, versus. Isn't quite as important as you know, making a good song, right? So he could snap, but if it doesn't sell, it's not shit.
The song comes first.
Now on the flip side of things, you guys could be competing with somebody trying to get someone to buy a house. Mm-hmm. He says, "Yo, this guy said he made me an offer over here, mm-hmm. XYZ. He made me an offer over here, XYZ." Mm-hmm. Let's say he goes with you guys, right? Mm-hmm. He gets in this house, and let's say he goes dead broke. He loses his job, divorce, bankruptcy, the whole mm-hmm. nine. Mm-hmm. You guys lose pretty much.
No. I'm going to sell his house for him so he can get some money back and I'll get paid to
sell
that house.
And we'll do it for fucking free too.
But I know what you mean though, because like you are right. Like the ultimate like piece of the team, right? Like you don't want to like outshine the part that's supposed to shine, et cetera, et cetera. But still bringing your A game and the lane.
Most definitely.
Because like mm-hmm. Scottie Pippen was not going to out Jordan. Yep. But Scottie Pippen having to level up every single day in what he was is what allowed Jordan to be Jordan in the first mm-hmm. place. And that's what I'm talking about. And but like for sure, if we work out together, bro, I'm bringing it that day.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like I'm never trying to come into like,
I'm not gonna put you down.
Right.
I'm not gonna loosen the weights or you know what I'm saying? Or like absolutely. Break the fucking machine so absolutely. You hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna tear you down to put myself up.
You know you're fucking with a 10.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know you're fucking with a 10.
Well, and that comes down to, man, like you mentioned the word humble earlier. And my whole perception of humble is how people think humble is about you, right? Like you keeping yourself down, whatever like that. I think humble is how you make other people feel. Because you could have a chip on your shoulder. You could be confident. You could be the best at what you do. Hey, I'm the fucking best at this. And man, like Will, like people might say you're not humble. However, every motherfucker that's been in a room with you, they leave feeling 10 times fucking better than when they came in. I fucking promise.
And credit where credit is due. Like I have no problem, you know, like giving that, but
that's
kinda,
humble. That's being humble.
I kind of correlate it to like baseball. Mm-hmm. When you're in the dugout or if you're, you know, if you're not pitching that day or if you're in the dugout, if you're not starting that day, or even if you are starting, but you're in the dugout cause it's your team's turn to hit. You're at the front of the dugout. You're cheering.
Yep.
You're grabbing water. Someone needs to grab a water. You're making sure the bats are all straight. You're making sure the dugout's clean when people are up batting.
Yep.
Man, you're cheering them on. If we need to rally, hey, we're fucking rallying and I'm there for you. But then when I get in the box to bat, yo, so that's my turn.
Yep.
That's my turn. Like I need to own this batter's box and I need to do what the fuck I need to do. And if I'm too busy complimenting this pitcher on how great of a pitcher he is and whatever it may be, then like, man, how well am I going to perform versus... So there's like time and place as far as like your confidence or your chip to, hey, understanding like when it's your time to perform and then when it's your time to support and be humble per se and just understand like, hey, no matter how great I am in that batter's box, I got the most home runs, the best batting average in baseball, right? So I'm the best player on the team and in the fucking league. But when I get back into that dugout, you're not too big to grab somebody a water, make sure the bats are all straight, whatever. But whatever swag and confidence and whatever I need to do when it's my turn to bat, then I got to be that guy. Mm-hmm. And that's like prime time, Deion Sanders.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Versus at times, a Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens. Because Terrell Owens.
Terrell.
Yeah, Terrell, right?
Yeah.
Terrell.
I think he calls himself Terrell.
I think it's Terrell, yeah.
He caused such a distraction on the sideline, it took away from the game. So then it's like, well, yeah, but I'm great. I got to prove it. And it's like, hey, you're right. And it sucks that people think you're a certain, but like, look, bro, if you're going to have those outings on a sideline during a fucking game that creates distraction to your play, to your teammates, to coaches, to media versus like Deion Sanders, bro, when he was on the field, don't let him catch that fucking ball. Don't let Deion Sanders intercept your shit. His gold chain's coming out. His fucking gold cleats is coming. But then did you ever hear of any, sideline antic.
Right. Does the locker room have a problem with Deion?
That's what I'm talking about. So it's like, hey, but you got to know, but like, don't misinterpret humble to the point to where like you don't even understand, like, when you got to turn it on and perform, that it's your turn to bat. Mm-hmm. So then whatever that needs to look like, you better fucking do it.
Right.
Right. So like, that's where I struggle.
Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of people get it confused at. They think mm-hmm. just because you humble, you have to be quiet and just so soft and whoop whoop. Nah. You know what I'm
saying? And the worst, there's a lot of people that hide behind the face, the facade of being humble, and
they can't pull the trigger.
They're the biggest. And at the same time of not being able to pull the trigger, they're the most judgmental, the most fucking condescending, but they do it behind this facade of being humble.
The biggest dirtbags.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The worst. I'll be humble.
The worst.
Don't make it about yourself.
I want you to think I'm humble. Yeah, I'm not really humble. I just want you to
But you are humble. But then also knowing, like, when you got to put something on your shoulders and you're not afraid to take the accountability and the ownership of making it happen.
That's the right part. Yeah.
But that's humility, because a lot of people can't take ownership.
It just gets it just gets misinterpreted, because most of your let's make it a team thing. It's like, hey, are you afraid to just take ownership of a lane and go make it fucking happen?
People think accountability is only when some fucked up shit happens. Yep. You know what I mean? I could be accountable for the good shit that I do too.
What do you think this is?
I'm like, exactly.
I'm aces, bro. It's a military thing. There's some military stuff behind it. But in addition to that, like, I say that all the time. And
I thought you was just popping bottles of Ace.
I do. Sections. At the house by myself, humbly. I don't flaunt those bottles. I just drink them by myself.
Just drinking.
But I like it too, because it's like, hey man, I like being the go-to guy. I like being the guy that can bear the responsibility and call the shot to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
And speaking of Gavin, he asked me a couple years ago when him and I were first like diving into a friendship. He goes, hey, are you the guy that wants the ball at the end of the game? Are you the guy that wants to take the last shot? And I was like, yeah, man, I fucking definitely am. But not for what you think. I said, I want the ball, and I want to be the guy taking the last shot in the game, because I can shoulder if I miss it. It's not so much just about the glory of making it, and because I want the chicks and the whatever. It's like, because I can shoulder missing. How many guys on the rest of that court can stomach the shot at the end of the game if they miss?
Oh, these guys are going to be crying and all this after the game. I'm Tom Brady.
Or Michael Jordan.
Or Michael Jordan. Miss pass. Like, let's go back. Come on.
And something I loved about The Last Dance, you know, had Michael Jordan in it. Somebody talked about who was like close to him. I don't know if it was one of his security guards, but somebody that was around him a lot made a comment of him being so in the moment. Like when he was just in the bus with his music on, that's where he was at. Didn't matter what was going on, what was coming, what happened the day before. They said he had an extraordinary ability to just be right there, wherever that was. And then you miss, like, well, go apply the work in the process to be better the next day. And that's where the humble comes in. Like, hey, I got nothing to prove to anybody. I'm just going to set the expectation on myself to where, like, hey, what about that miss was a miss? And then, hey, not only the last shot, but like, hey, how can we just get better as a team so we're not putting ourselves in a position where we have to make the last shot to win a fucking game? Because if that's how you're going to play, where every time to win a game, it comes down to the last shot with a point, half a second left, like, those are triumphant and awesome. They also can be fucking devastating. And, hey, man, why do we always have to be in that position when we win? Like the fucking Baltimore Ravens, bro. Like, I want to like that team. You'll be bipolar as fuck watching that team.
Oh, the Lamar Jackson.
Fucking lead changes every fucking 2 minutes, and then it's a fucking game. And you're like, God damn. Like, and when they win, you're like, cool. And I love watching those games because I'm neutral.
Yeah,
I'm not a Ravens fan. So whoever they're playing, you can just enjoy the game for the game. But at some point, I promise you, Lamar Jackson, the coaching staff, whatever, it's like, hey, we got to fucking control the game. We got to get to a point where it's not like, hey, it's great when we can win on the last second or the last drive of a game and pull it out and stomach it.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we have to go that hard just to pull a fucking win out versus like the Patriots in their prime,
mm-hmm.
the Broncos with Peyton Manning in their prime, where you were like, yo, halftime, the game was over.
Mm-hmm.
Is that prime Broncos for you? Peyton Manning Broncos?
John Elway was a prime too. John Elway's 97, 98, the two Super Bowls. I mean, I'm old enough for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would watch them control a game, and they come out after halftime. They would control the third quarter, and then the fourth quarter, they were just slowing the bleeding down, handing the ball off, but the game 27-3, 27-7, 34-13, like they just controlled.
Blew out.
versus like having a win on the last second. And but I feel like with Eli and I, like, dude, we fall on our own sword, man. But it allows you to just go out and do it. But it's interesting to hear your concept of like humble, chips on shoulders. Because it's like, hey, bro, you talk about a lot of shit in your lyrics. There's gotta be, there's swag to that. There's alter ego to that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not humble, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think people get that confused.
Mm-hmm. They do.
It's probably a big reason about why you're fucking alive. Like, there's so many things about, like, Will with his past where I'm like, hey, if he wasn't fucking this way,
right,
you might not fucking be alive.
I wouldn't. I promise you, not getting too specific, not my thing. I promise you, like, being the first through a door when there's evil behind it.
Yep.
All you got is like, it's not America.
I got my balls.
It's not. I promise you, man, kicking that door, I'm not thinking of like, okay, the people of Aurora, Colorado are going to thank me for this. Nah, bro. It's not going through my head. It's like,
killer be killer.
Fucking got this shit. No, right. Okay, so let's talk about that. Because it's like, I don't want to be the fourth guy going through the door. That's twofold. Do I trust the guys in front of me? Do I trust that they're going to do a good job and that they can stomach it and appropriately be lead? Because if I can't trust them, then I'm too busy worrying about what they're doing, not what I should be doing as the fourth man coming to the door. There's roles and responsibilities with dynamic entries, right? Second guy, third guy, fourth, regardless of what happens, there's something that should happen. And there was this shooting, and I don't even want to talk about the police department that I had or whether it was even in Colorado, because I don't want to do that. I don't want to shame. But there was a shooting that happened with the police department. I can't remember if there was a barricaded suspect or if it was a guy that was suicidal, whatever. And the way that they approached this door just wasn't best. And then first guy going through the door receives contact fire. He gets shot. And he goes down in the door. And then the police behind him retreat. Okay, so he's left in the door. Then somebody else gets shot. They're left by the door. Then everybody starts retreating. Okay, you just lost your momentum. You're gonna lose more trying to regain that. And homeboy in that door is bleeding out. He's dead. So the nature sometimes of what we do requires a clenched fist, right? Like, you can be relaxed with your your trigger finger or with your whatever, but the mentality and the energy that has to go through, if I'm behind you, you're going through that door, bro. And if you catch anything as you're going through, I know the only chance I have of saving you, anyone in that house, myself, and anyone behind me is not giving up the momentum that we just took in this close of a proximity of a battle. And the only chance I have of like handling this as quickly as possible and minimizing damage is if he's got his weapon toward you and I'm right behind you coming through, he doesn't have time to pump both of us because I'm already pumping that dude. And then now that's eliminated, and then now I can address you on the floor. I don't want to get too specific, like, because then people can like digest, well, what if this? Well, what if that? I understand. But to the side. That's just real. But if you lose momentum, I mean, imagine if there was somebody in my office right now, bro, with a gun. And we all had to figure that out. And then we all stack up, but then I go. Now I get shot as I'm going in, and all you guys back up. Where are we at now? Then when you guys restack, you're going to lose the first person again and back up. And then the first person again and back up. And he's just going to stack you fucking faggots.
Yep.
Period.
Right?
Period.
So there's just a certain mentality of like, hey, if you're going to approach a situation, some of it just requires, like you're talking about, like some of it requires that edge of understanding what you're getting yourself into and just understanding if I don't go through it like this, we just don't, our chances of coming out on this are not good. Like, I think when people describe like NASCAR, when there's a car crash and you can't see, they tell you to drive straight fucking through it. Yep. Because the chances of something being in the middle of the track or right where you were at that speed is very small.
Yep.
But if you slow down and try to choose which way you're going to go, cars either at that speed are either hitting the wall and coming down, or they're going up, and they talk about how you just got to drive through the smoke consistently, if not faster, yep, because your chances of coming out are better. Could you fucking imagine that?
Yeah.
You sound like you're already going 200, and you're just like, but here's the problem, because we're human. You do that, right?
Yep.
And you're like, right? Yep. Then guess what happens on the other side? You're like, oh, I like that.
Add a little chip to that shoulder.
But it does. Yep. It also just gives you some tenacity, some grit.
It does.
And achievement. So it's hard for me to eliminate that.
No, and you,
side of me when it comes to business or anything else. And it doesn't mean we have to go kicking doors in and shooting people in real estate. Clearly not. However, the mentality, like for example, Shash, you'll like this. We were talking about, I don't want to mention any realtors, but remember we were talking, what, like a week or two ago, Eli? And you were like, nah, I don't think he thinks that. And I was like, yo, shut the fuck up. Yeah, he does fucking think that. Remember?
Who was it about?
Was it about Alex?
I said
something.
I
wonder like if they're making the right decisions or this or that. And you're like, nah, I don't think they do. I think, I wonder if they're missing me. I wonder if they don't see me.
Yeah.
And you're like, no.
I promise.
I'm like, Eli, shut the fuck up. They don't see me, bro.
He's like, I'm trying to get this.
Yeah. That's just naturally Oh, you don't think?
Uh-huh. Right,
uh-huh.
Right.
Okay. Like, yeah. Eli, fucking amazing. Eli, super nice, humble Eli. He's like, no, I think they think super highly of you. I think they're it's like, no.
Because they do. He just don't want to hear that.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
He was like
Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Because like when they would always make fun of Michael Jordan for like, a guy would be like, hey, good game. And he'd be like,
yeah, what the fuck's that?
Jordan would turn that shit into some shit.
Yeah.
I wonder if like there's a little bit of that because I'm like, man, did they not? They're not over here yet. They don't see us.
Yeah.
They think they got it. They think they know how to do it better. Oh, I promise you, they don't.
Yep.
They don't. No, we do it better. And he's like, no, I don't. I don't think they think that. I'm like, no, they fucking do.
Well, here's a dude.
But dude, it pushes me, man. It pushes me.
Well, coming back to your shirt, man, I am who I am. Like, you know, one thing.
I am who I fucking am. He tries to change.
No, I don't.
No, hold on. And before we get to the shirt, this was a good lesson for Eli. Not that he isn't already smart as fuck. I feel like I've helped him in the competitive side of grit and like, let's really fucking do this, right? Yep,
no doubt.
When he was getting into jiu-jitsu, then he was doing a jiu-jitsu tournament. Mm-hmm. And he told me about it. He's like, yeah, man, I'm going to do a tournament this weekend. I was like, oh, yeah, I bet. And he was like, yeah, but you know, man, like not too many high expectations. I just want to go in and just kind of see like what it feels to like, you know, like compete. And I'm like, no, what? No, bro, you're going to fucking win. Mm-hmm. You're going to win. Do you understand? And he's like, and then we had that talk about it. It's like, hey, bro, how can you go to just kind of see how it goes? I can. No, you could. You can. But if you're going to compete, it's putting more pressure on yourself where, hey, no. You're going to try as hard as you can and do all you fucking can because that's what competing is.
Yep.
This is the arena. That's like you going to Bandimere Speedway and you're like, yeah, man, I'll probably get on the car like 85% to just kind of see, you know, what it does and like kind of how it feels. And you would see what it did and you would kind of see how it felt, but it's like, hey, bro, Bandimere Speedway is literally sanctioned so you can go all out with your car. And even if you crash this fucking car, you're going to know where you stand as a racer and where your car stands when you fucking give it all it has. And if you don't give it all it has, how do you really know when the tires break loose?
Right.
Where the fucking rear end shakes? Where it fucking sticks in third. Like, if you're not giving it all out, how do you really know how the car's reacting then where you need to make improvements? If you're not going all out in jiu-jitsu, how do you really know where you have to make improvements? The reason why I love competition is how can you do that to yourself? Right? Does that make
sense?
It's
the whole point of competition. It's the whole point.
Like, if I go run every day to be the best version of myself and be the best runner I can, but when you go compete against other runners, and you're physically trying to keep up with the next guy or the next guy. All right, I passed this guy. Keeping up with the next guy. You're literally pulling shit out of you that you might not have even known you had in there. But because you're trying to compete, you're trying to pull that out of you, that extra out of you. And that's where you start really letting yourself know who you are. Mm-hmm. So when you really go compete in jiu-jitsu and that guy really fucking beats you, it's not that he beat you because you were going 85% and you were afraid to like break his arm and you had him in this one move. No, man, that guy fucking beat you. Because
yep.
right when you went all in right here, it's like he knew that you were because you didn't mask that move. So it really lets you see real...
If you really want
to
test.
If we go to the gym, bro, and I don't max, I don't push. It's like,
what? You don't know what your max is.
Yeah.
You just don't know. You don't really have that real foundation, that real starting point. That's why I love and celebrate competition because it's like, that's what the fuck it's there for. So I was like, Eli, no, bro, you're going to fucking win and not winning. That's whether you win, like it, you're going to learn something. But it's like, that's also what's so great about it and why I celebrate, because it's like, that's where you get to cut loose. This other guy's going to try to do the same.
That's the thing. And so not only that, like you said, you get the permission there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, hey, you're at this.
You break his arm, you're not going to jail.
Yeah. Like, you're not at your school where, man, this guy, he's like, you know, some 55-year-old accountant there to fucking like lose weight, you know, like it's, hey, this is the whole purpose of being here, where if you have permission to be a fucking asshole anywhere, hey, it's here.
You signed up for it.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about people that compete with you in the wrong areas?
No, I don't feel like it's a competition.
So,
for an example, you want to take my girl?
Let's say we just meet in the club. Meet in the club, and I tell you, oh, you got a nice car, so I'm going to get a nicer car than you, but my income is shitty. Yep. I got it illegally.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because, like, at that point, I don't know what game we're playing.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're not competition, like Eli just said. You're not even competition. Like your way of thinking but is
you,
not even
so
on
you're
the
not
right
gonna
level.
Like necessarily beat me, but you could be using me to level yourself up, right? Yeah. Like you could like
or put I'm yourself that, in a worse spot.
Like I'm that runner that's showing you what's possible.
Or competing in the wrong areas. Yeah, you might be outdoing. Let's say you outdo Hash and push-ups, but you did them wrong. The wrong technique.
Right.
So that's
you
where
did
just
some shitty ass push-ups.
Yep. But like him and I both know that.
Mm-hmm.
So what game we playing now?
Yep.
Because Hash is probably going to go, hey, man, great job.
Yep.
And then he's going to say that. I'm going to go, but I know it wasn't a great job.
You know,
so what I really, what I really wanted to hear from him, I got him to say it, but it didn't feel good.
You did better than me.
And it's going to put me back into like doing it the right way.
Yeah.
So, right. So like, but that's the game, right? Like you try to get at my girl.
And I think.
Okay. But if I punch you, right, that's part of the game. And if I've competed at jiu-jitsu and I know what I'm doing.
What?
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that's like, those guys that.
You can. And by the way, feel free to say hello to her. And I'm going to let her speak for herself. Mm-hmm. I don't need to say shit until she's made it clear to you that it's no longer a thing. Because then at that point, women can't physically remove you from a conversation. Mm-hmm. But. Feel free to talk to her, and if she entertains your conversation and it's friendly, then there's nothing to worry about. But if there's more intent behind it, and then she makes it clear that like, hey, that's just not for me, and then you can't be gentlemen, then it's like, well, what are you trying to do there? Because whether she has a guy or not, what are you trying to do if a girl's made it clear? But then if she's made it clear, well, then now I get to handle it, and then the fact that I competed in jiu-jitsu and I went all out. Means I'm prepared for this now.
I've been waiting for this moment. Well,
and I feel like the guys that feel that need to compete with people who they don't even know where they're competing against the guys who don't have regular competition in their life.
Because you need to know, like, so for example, I do compete with guys that are not competing with me. There are agents in real estate that are living there, but it's not me trying to keep up with the Joneses, but I understand level of competition to the point of I'm going to level up beyond that. But I'm using him as a barometer, as fuel. Mm-hmm. Make sense? Motivation. Like, I'm not going to, because if you go buy the car that's better than my car, but you can't even afford the car, it's insecurity. It's keeping up with it. Like, it's not a real win.
I'm still going to have mine when they come pick yours up.
The point is like, hey, there's no win there. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's fake.
Absolutely. Right.
But if you see me and what I'm doing and you're like, yo, these guys are in real estate and they're doing A, B, and C and like he's rocking it like that. I'm gonna get in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me talk to these guys. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you everything we do. Mm-hmm. And then if you're like, yo, they could do it, I could do it. Yep. And I could do it better. And then you hit the fucking books and you hit your brand and you hit your business and then you just go make money and you just make more than me. You utilize what you saw possible as fuel. And you were somewhat competing against me. You just weren't trying to tear me down or fake the funk. in the meantime. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? But it's now, like, you could see it as like direct competition because other realtors, like, I just want to do more volume than they do. Mm-hmm. So there is some black and white, but we're not necessarily on a court competing. But that's what's so fun about business is some guys come into this game not realizing it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not like if, but if you see it for what it is, it's like you can start pulling and peeling tactics and things that work for others and putting onto your fucking tool belt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have people
start
that,
using it for your
advantage?
Do you
have people
advantage?
That pull away from your success that started out real estate before you?
We've had a couple. Yeah, because they're just not in it for the work or the accountability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like they'll talk the good game, but then when they see the level of work and commitment that it takes, they start realizing, oh, it's not a facade.
Do they stick with what they're comfortable with? Or?
Well, and Will puts it in a really good way. He goes, you know, do you have 20 years of experience or do you have 1 year of experience 20 times?
Mm-hmm.
Two very, very different things.
Experience 20 times.
Yep. Two very, very different things, man. Yeah.
You still rapping about the same shit?
No.
Mm-hmm.
You got more shit?
Got more shit.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Is that weird?
No, being sarcastic. You're like, fucking what? Supposed to.
Yeah.
You're supposed
like growth,
to.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we grow in life, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm getting at. But in business, you'll have guys have one trick pony, one dimensional. Yeah. They did something 1 year and like then they've never really adapted. They've never really grown. They just keep doing the same thing.
I have 20 years of experience. Anytime you're on the phone with an agent and they tell you they have 20 years of experience, you're like, all right, you're one of these fucking guys.
Yeah. It ain't gonna fucking
I got
work.
20 years of experience of selling fucking merchandise. And I don't do it the same way year after year.
Mm-hmm.
It always transcends into something else.
It's supposed to. Or just own that you got 1 year. Yo, man, I do one thing and I do it real fucking good.
Yep. Right.
So if you want to come over here and mail out some fucking postcards, I'm going to show you how to do it.
Hell
and just
yeah.
Just own that lane, right?
Yep.
Just own the lane. But right. Like, you're probably not that good in business if you're still trying to do something one way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, there's only two ways to scale. You either adapt and do several different things. Or you do one thing and you help many people at it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be the postcard guy, but you've grown and you help 10,000 people do postcards, you scaled.
Yep.
But it's that one thing.
Yep.
If you're trying to scale yourself and grow, well, then you've got to adapt. You have to have several different things that you're great at. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. No, it makes total sense. Mm-hmm.
But it's that. It's how you scale. I don't know. But either way, the competitive talk is fun.
Yeah, competitive.
It's way more fun. Yeah. Hash, what's in the future, bro? You're doing a lot of shit, too. You've got music, you've got merch.
We got to talk music, too.
Yeah, music, merch, man. Definitely more merch drops. Me and PG here, we working on a project together. It just seems like, you know, the stages are getting bigger. Mm-hmm. The crowds are getting thicker, you know what I mean? So just trying to find a way, like, again, to capitalize, you know what I mean, off of, you know, these opportunities and things that we have. And then... you know, with the clothing, the merch and everything, it's just, you know, it's business. You know what I mean?
What's the plan for music? Are you good where you're at and you're just like making music and you're doing merch and stuff? Or are you really,
so like
are you trying to push yourself further in music?
I want to go further in the state of like, I'm not like out here trying to like, I'm not trying to sign with Dr. Dre, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to sign with Jay-Z. I'm not trying to sign with Griselda Records. None of
doing
that shit.
Way.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just doing it my way. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to accumulate. First goal right now is like, yeah, I have 1,000 fans, but I don't have 1,000 cult-like fans. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm trying
so
to
going deep
now.
You need more fans.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, not necessarily like wider, but deeper with
It's the same
the
with
fans.
Us with agents,
right.
man. You just need more fans. Yeah. Right? Like if you got 1,000 fans total, but you don't think you don't think like they're all not ride or die. You're not going to turn the nons into the ons,
definitely
right?
Not.
You just got to go get 3,000, and out of the 3,000, you'll have 1,000.
Well, you got to get 10,000. Like you know, you're in business. We know the rule of 10. You know what I mean? So we need to get to 10,000 fans, and 1,000 of those people will be the diehards. You know what I mean? So it's just growing the base. You know what I mean? And just keeping it growing from there.
So you got to go open for people, or what does it look like as far as like
just opening, traveling? So like these next three shows that I have is opening for some mainstream acts. We're doing La Raza Park on September 10th from 12 to 8 or 12 to 9 is going to be MC Supernatural. If you're not familiar with him, he has like the world's Guinness Book of World's Records longest freestyle. Everything's like 17 minutes.
Jesus.
Rozell. And I used to look up to Rozell. He came through. Remember Rozell with the Roots, beatboxing. So he'll be there at the park. And then
crazy beatboxing, too,
crazy.
Bro.
He made a whole album beatboxing and rapping.
Dude, there's you're hearing multiple instruments.
That is all his
while rap. He is fucking rapping and it's all his fucking throat. Nuts. Yeah. Nuts.
Yeah, so that'd crazy. Be entertaining. And then also on top of that, for that show, it's the world qualification, one of the qualification rounds for the breakdancing Olympics.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, the actual Olympics, but the breakdancing part of it. So they're going to be there. So it's going to be like a good event for like the community, hip-hop, things like that. You know what I mean? And then October 1st is another mainstream act. This guy named Terminology. Out of New York, I believe he's from
New
York.
That's a great name.
Yeah, Terminology. That's a great name. For like a bar spitter. So that's what's going to be heavy right there.
Terminology? Like, I can't be your friend, bro, because you sound exhausted. That sounds exhausting.
I know.
Like, yo, bro, I'm Will. How you doing? Hey, yo, what's up, man? Terminology. I'm like, yo, I cannot talk to you.
Probably sounds like
whatever we
rapping.
Talk about, it's going to be exactly. It's gonna be exhausting.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be, you know, it's funny. So, like, you know, just a lot of those. And to be honest with you, like, to like as far as the end game, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, when we talk about, like, God-given gifts and things like that, like Jay-Z recently said on an interview with Kevin Hart, you know what I mean? He was asked about retirement, and Kevin Hart and Jay-Z told Kevin Hart, like, man, like, I don't know. Like, this is a God-given gift. Like, who am I to shut it off? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I guess I'll just have a feel for it when it's time to transition. But I definitely want, you know what I mean? I don't see, like, me stop doing my thing, no end in sight, because I still am so passionate about it. You know what I mean?
What holds you back?
Women were holding me back.
Women?
Women were holding me back before.
Mm-hmm. Before, but before, not now.
Not now. You know what I'm saying? That's why the
How recent the change?
About a year and a half now.
Really? Was it so?
It wasn't just one. It wasn't just one.
No, I mean,
woman.
Like, was it?
It wasn't just one.
So
woman.
It was the physical weight of 19 women. You just couldn't. You just couldn't carry them all.
No, it was just like I'm more of a. I'm not like the guy that's out here, like, you know, like, a lot of women think this about me because I'm a rapper. You know what I mean? That's why I'm probably not in a relationship now. But it's like, I'm not out here, like, I don't have multiple women like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm more of a relationship type person. But the people that I've chosen to get into relationships with.
Were holding you back.
Were holding me back.
How so?
In different ways. You know, the shit that just comes with being an artist. You know what I mean? Yeah. What they expect.
Who you talking
you.
To? Where you are you going?
Where you at? Where you going?
Late nights.
How late you going to be there?
Yeah, stuff like that holds you back. Or, you know, just not on the same page. Just different responsibilities because we're not on the same page. You know, like, you think this is the way of living. I'm an artist. This is my way of living. I'm not a rapper.
I'm an artist.
You know what I mean? Like, if this was painting, you know what I mean? Would people say the same shit? Like,
you feel like you hold back with lyrics?
On purpose.
Yeah.
Sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
I'll hear you rap. I said this about one of my other buddies too. So not to make it too cliche, because ironically it's just the same. Remember JT?
Yeah.
I said the same thing to him. He's white, raps, and he's in like hip hop.
Oh, the hip hop.
Yeah. He's good.
But he's
good.
I'm gonna play a little bit for you before you leave. I know we probably got somebody waiting for a meeting, right, Eli? So we'll cut out soon. But
shame.
All right, cool. But I was like, yo, do you hold yourself back? And he's like, yeah, you know, like these guys are, they kind of help put me on, and, you know, just one guy. And I'm just like, yo, what if you just went rogue? Mm-hmm. Like, what if you just cut loose and just like, let it rip, bro. Like, I kind of feel the same with you. Like, cause I enjoy your music. I listen to it before the gym and other stuff, but I'm like,
he could be saying so much more.
I just feel like there's more in there. And I'm
and
like,
more in there,
why definitely. Not?
There definitely is.
Because if I feel that, you seem like you're pretty self-aware.
Right.
So what are you pumping the brakes? You know, is it pumping the brakes? I don't want to put an identity to it. But like, what is that?
That's not really pumping the brakes. It's like, I think it's a couple of different things. It's like politics.
You're black.
With like producers and shit, like internally within the hip hop community.
Within the hip hop community, because if I say certain things and this person might not feel that way, or this person's brother or sister is that way, you know what I mean?
Because you're talking shit about people that can't do it.
I'm talking shit about people that can't do it. And I just feel like, I laugh because it's like, because I don't talk about it and I do
hold
back
from
certain things.
Here's my thing.
It kills people more. You know
what I mean? I try to, I don't cut loose on the podcast, but I cut loose enough, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes people will reach out because they'll think that what I said was for them. And even I've done that. I've done that with my buddy Tosh. Mm-hmm. And he said the same thing that I say to people. So it was a good lesson when he said it to me. because it fed me my own medicine that I literally say to people, and I didn't get the terminology from him. I just organically thought the same thing.
Yeah. Shout out. Shout out.
But when somebody would approach me about it, I would say, well, I don't know. Like, hey, man, was that about me? Et cetera, et cetera. Like, well, did it speak to you? Mm-hmm. Because if it speaks to you,
then it is
then
for
it's,
you.
Then it's for you. But if it doesn't speak to you, then it's not. You know, like, hey, and my music is my music. And never is it just one person that I'm speaking about unless I say your fucking name. Mm-hmm. But could there be a couple people that get coupled into a category that gets spoken about? Is it my place? I'm going to gift it and put it out there. And if it fucking hits a spot on you, you should probably think more about why it's triggering you versus whether I'm intending to trigger you. You should be more here with it. And I wonder, like, if that would help mm-hmm. on your side. Because when it's like you're getting to these bigger stages and you're doing it, him and I, like, with business, there's pockets in business. Like, you talk about pockets in music, there's pockets in business. And I correlate it to football. Running back gets the ball. Hole opens up. You hit that hole with intention, fierce, you could break out for a 96-yard touchdown in one play. If you don't hit it the right way with the right intention, the right tenacity, that hole closes up. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not going to score a touchdown. It could just take you 12, 13, 16 plays because you got tackled after running four right. yards. So now you got 16 more plays to get a touchdown or maybe a field goal. And there's no guarantee that you will get a touchdown, but you still could win, you could, right? But when that hole opens up and it was right there and you just didn't hit it, you just have to ask yourself, like, fuck. And if I, right, and if my mind's right and if I understand that, then, like, and if I'm not – it's the same in business. Like, him and I are doing some agent attraction stuff, and there's a pocket right now that's opened up because agents are starting to figure out they got to learn how to do it better, and we teach how to do it better. So we're tripling down on agent attraction, and we're grabbing more agents now than ever because the market has shifted, and they realize they actually got to fucking do a good job to win. What happens when the market goes back to being fucking crazy in a couple years? And a monkey could sell a fucking house.
Right.
It's really hard to get people to transition at those points. Not that they don't. It's just not as lucrative. Yeah. But when there's opportunity, am I hitting that fucking hole like Terrell Davis or am I fucking around? Right. Now, Terrell Davis would kind of hang out in the backfield a little bit. So he was still, you know, he didn't have tunnel vision. Like, he had his head up, his eyes open, and he's navigating. But then when it's there, am I intentional? Am I hitting it or am I not? Like, and I wonder, like, for you, like, hey, you got goals, ambitions, you're hitting bigger stages, hashes the name. Is it opening up?
It is opening up, and I purposely, like, hold some of it back to have future content. You know what I mean? To think about this, not giving them everything.
I feel like you should just give them everything.
Fuck, I think this next one I'm going to give
them. I think you should just give them everything. Because I think, because again, let's talk about competition, right? Mm-hmm. If Eli gives his everything, we're going to end this podcast on this. I'll leave you with this.
Yeah, yeah.
If Eli's holding back on his jujitsu competition, so at the next one, he has even more, like, oh, you didn't see this move yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if he goes all out, going all out in itself will have a lesson and a vision to it, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
So if you're holding back with your lyrics or material, realize if you go all out, going all out and then expressing all out, performing all out, is going to create lesson and vision in itself that leads to more lyric mm-hmm. and more whatever.
Oh, yeah. Facts.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, facts.
So I just feel like...
No, I'm just...
Whatever brakes are now on this car yeah. don't right. aren't even needed.
Right.
You should just get rid of the brakes.
Just go ahead, full in. That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Because like, you've been out here for a minute and your shit is good.
Yeah, it is good.
So if like really for good. True fans like Will and Eli, I'm like, yeah. yo... Why the fuck is this guy not at the top of the world? Not that that's your goal. Metaphorically, like, yo, it's there. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Grab it.
Mm-hmm. The top is all about perception, though.
For mm-hmm. sure. But yeah. you're not at your top.
I'm not at my peak.
That's what
not,
I mean.
Not even close.
And it's never going to be my place to tell you what your top
nah,
is.
Definitely.
But what I mean, though, is whatever future you see, like, it's there. And I feel like Thanksgiving dinner, bro. And you're like, you've had some. You're eating.
Right. Like, but I need the whole feast.
But you're still, like, hey, you want some? You gotta eat? You know, like,
right.
versus like, hey, bro, in the Thanksgiving dinner of life, there's abundance. It's never ending. So it's like, hey, you got enough? Hey, bro, you could eat all these mashed potatoes. They just keep coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's life. So you could just
keep eating.
Yeah.
You could just take what's yours, knowing that he can do the same and everybody else can do the same. But you can just take what's yours, and it doesn't affect or hurt anybody.
Facts, man. Big facts.
But that gives you the permission to, like,
Just to say fuck it. And just
fuck it.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, man?
Hash Got Bars on everything. So all platforms is Hash Got Bars.
Is Hash the dollar sign?
No, not on the
social?
Yeah, okay. Not on social. Yep, so it's just Hash with the S, Hash Got Bars, or hashgotbars.com.
We got to get you on No Life Shack.
What's that? Yeah,
you never heard of No Life Shack?
No, what's that?
Oh, man, I should be your promoter,
what
bro.
Is it? What's No Life Shack?
No Life Shack has several million followers, and he does reaction videos to rappers and shit.
Okay, yeah, cool. The reaction videos, cool. Yeah. You know what? I never get into those guys, to be honest with you, because there are so many of them that you can just pay, and they'll just be like, oh
really?
Everybody watching it's like...
Yeah, it's cool. Like if he just comes across your shit, because I don't think I don't think anyone pays him.
Okay,
he's had Eminem send him an album before on the day it released, and he got to open
that's
it.
Cool.
Because I think he's one of the ones that just like he's just gonna do the shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Either way, it'll be exciting.
That's what I love about you, Will. You're just all or nothing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and everything. You know what I'm saying, Eli. He's always been the brains of the operation. You know what I mean?
I'm like, good support, man. Yeah, he's again, the Scottie Pippen, man. I'm the fucking support. Right. No desire to do the shit that he does.
Because if we crash, he could blame me. See how this works?
But, you know, I think it's more of a point of, like, finding, like, you know that you're good at this,
mm-hmm.
and you're just going to play this role to the best of your ability.
Because that's how I approach the game. It's like, hey, these are my skill sets. This is how I win. Doesn't have to be how everyone wins, but this is how I win. And if you're on my team... This is the position that I play.
Yep.
So I've got it right. So like Tom Brady, hey, bro, you're great at seeing the field and throwing the ball. We don't need you to be the receiver on that team.
Exactly.
But you do need the receiver to be the receiver in order to play. And then like the all or nothing, it goes back to that door.
Yep.
You ain't halfway going in and out of that door, bro. You ain't one foot in, 1 foot out. You're fucking dead.
I promise you, dead.
And you're dead to less. That's the sad part, okay? Like, hey, bro, you're dead to a lesser individual that should not have fucking killed you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I always replay this movie in my mind. It's kind of corny, but it motivates me. Remember the original Bad Boys?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they're chasing the dude down at the end of the movie.
Yep.
And they're coming up on that fucking gap in between the two cement barricades at the airport. Remember they're in the Porsche?
Yeah.
Martin Lawrence is driving. Will's in the passenger seat. Yep. And he's like, you got the right to remain silent. He's like, he's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm getting it out the way. But he's coming up on him, remember? And Will Smith was like, yo, this is a faster car.
Yeah.
This is a faster fucking car.
Yeah.
Right? And then like, then they kind of skirt him and they get through and then the dude crashes. And it's like, I just love that mentality. It's like, yo, man, if there's any rapper out here that's on a bigger stage or a bigger whatever.
He's got a faster car.
You got a faster car. But it's not, has nothing to do with this dude's car slowing down so you can go get yours. Mm-hmm. And you getting yours ain't taken away from this dude.
Right.
But if there's dudes out there, man, that are doing it, that are bigger, that are a bigger deal than you, are you putting that pedal to the floor or not, right? Like, and that's the whole, they're in that Porsche and shit. And he's like, yo, this is a faster fucking car. So it's like, we see guys in real estate and stuff, and like you see guys that are like, yo, we do it better. So do it better then.
Step on the gas.
But like the bottom line is like, yo, that, you know, right? So like in the rap industry and the artist, whatever it may be, it's like if there's guys, quote unquote, ahead or bigger or getting more clout or whatever it is, and it's like they might be flooring their car and you're at 40%.
Right.
So then you get back into God's gifts and it's like, oh, God gave you a Porsche so you can drive the fucking speed limit, huh? Ain't that something?
Right.
You got there getting groceries with it?
Right.
Or you gonna fuck that shit?
I just want everybody out there listening to know that this new asshole version of Hash was brought to you by
Will Rhymes and Eli Smith.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I don't mind taking the fall. So people are going to hit us up for like when Hash bitch smacks them. Right.
It's contagious,
like,
bro.
What are y'all doing?
It's contagious, right?
It's fucking contagious, man.
But if you think about it, bro, like with that car theory, it's like, look, man, you flooring it and you having this and them having that, it has nothing to do with each other. It has everything to do with perspective and why not. And if I do have this, and if this is a gift and I am holding back, yo, man, if God gave you a Porsche, it wasn't to go to the fucking grocery store, bro.
Right. Mm-hmm. It wasn't to go pick the kids up from school. Man.
So that's kind of how, like, I see what we do. And then just, like I say, it goes back to that door analogy, bro. Like, I'm going to let, like, there's something else on the side of this door, bro. And I'm going to let that get me.
Yep.
Definitely not.
If it gets me, it gets me. But it's not going to get me because I fucking sat there playing double dutch in the goddamn doorway. Okay?
Yep.
Right? But that's also where you take your wins and your losses, man. It's okay to take a loss or whatever. Maybe be like, hey, why are you losing?
Yeah.
You're losing because you're giving it your all and you're falling on your own sword and you're learning what this game is all about and you're pushing. Or you fucking losing because you're fucking shh.
Just holding up, yeah. Y'all need some assistance with that next meeting over there?
Yeah, I told you.
I know.
So I'm going to go rap. Go all out. Hash is going to handle my meetings.
Hell
Let's
yeah.
go.
All right. Hash got bars.
Hashgotbars.com. Hash got bars on all social media platforms.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You doing different colors, different logos. What are you doing with this bag before we go?
The deal that I signed with the people who print the bag is that I got to drop something, a new piece of merch every month.
Baller.
Which keeps the foot on the gas and which challenges me to continue to grow and keep coming up with being creative with the products and everything.
Yes, sir.
Like keep me on the loop with like photos and different stuff so I can throw it on my Instagram and just throw it out there to our audience so they can see what it looks like and definitely make sure him and I are grabbing what
you and Eli, man, is, you know, with offline and shit, you know what I'm saying? Y'all already know, but it's, man, I appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you.
Always
likewise,
showing me
man.
Love, man. And
likewise, man.
Always being like the first to support, you know what I mean? Like jump always, right to dude. It, boom, you know.
You're that way with us, man.
Exactly, you know what I mean? And not even for it in return.
Yep,
100%.
Just because, you know what I mean?
I just want to watch you go stomp everybody.
We about to.
Hell yeah.
We about to. I need to hear shit like this. This is why I need to be around people.
My
circle looks different than anybody's circle. You know what I mean?
You got to have different circles.
So does he.
Everybody has to have like their circle, but then they've got to have like that other circle where they source, where they go get fed, and then they contribute it back to their circle, right?
Right. Yep, 100%. Let's go fucking eat.
All right, let's go.
All right, cool. All right, we'll see you guys. Thanks for listening.
Yes, sir. Day $1.00.
Oh shit.
Let's go.